Throughout our lives, I'm sure many of you have had people come to you and says God has said to them, or you even heard or felt something through what you may call not a coincidence, something happening, so God must be speaking to me through this item, and I've seen more confusion with this than many other things. I know we want to hear from God. I know we love to hear from God. Now, this is not in this study, but if you ever read Hebrews 1:1, it clearly tells us the most time we hear from him today is through his son, which is the word. Okay, so that's a big part of this. But we want to make sure when we are hearing from him that it's in line with his son. Okay, this study is going to show, it's going to say a lot about false teachers, because that's our protection when somebody comes to us or when we even have a deep feeling that it's from God. The name of this order, my steps, is being sure it is from God. Now, understand this. The two things that cause people to be confused if it is God or not is ignorance and desire. Studies on both of those exist. Ignorance, if I'm not reading to understand my word, if I'm not asking questions, if I'm not diving in and allowing the Bible to interpret the Bible and the answers from the Bible, then I'm ignorant. And in many cases, I'm outside of his protection. You know, I just want God to give me the answer. I just want God to give me the answer. And I see many people do that, or they only take what somebody has given them without checking. We're going to see where that problem comes in. Secondly, desire. The what I want has been the foundation of our destruction. Because we look at what we want from the beginning of the tree to where we're at now. You still watch people who profess to be Christians still doing the what I want and not diving into what God said. I know it's not always desirable. Do you understand that? But it's not meant for us to live for our desires. In fact, we should be clear enough to recognize how dangerous desires are when we're not living for God. If we were to focus on what I want versus what he says, it would show how dangerous we are to ourselves. Now, before I dive into this, because this one is talking more about when somebody says God has said or when you feel God has said, but when it comes to choices you have to make between something, or something came into your life and you have to make a decision or certain answers, you must first realize if there is a choice or decision that you are waiting to hear from God on, and neither of them goes against his word, it becomes what's called a disputable matter. And doesn't matter what you choose or decide, you must glorify God with it. Perfect example. I know we like to think God sent some man into a woman's life. God sent some woman into a man's life. I know we like to think that. However, what God lays down is a foundation of those we are to marry. You get this? So if the choice is between two godly people potentially to be spouse, I could choose either of them. I can choose either of them as long as who I choose, I glorify God. I know we like to think, man, I hope I don't choose the wrong one. Of course, we have to be diligent to look at everything. Do you understand that? However, if the choice is, and I heard a woman say this one time, there's one guy that she's really into and he's a Christian. But there's another guy she's really, really into, but he has the potential to be a Christian. And they both asked to marry her or something to that effect. And the answer was there. Either you get married a guy who is a Christian, or you wait for the other guy to become a Christian before you get married. Don't push him. He has to make that choice. Do you understand that? Or none. All of them are right as long as you glorify God. I know we want some magical answer and knew this was brought into my life and it has to work. When I work with God, then I work with what he's brought into my life. Do you understand that? So now, concerning those, when people come to you and say, hey, I got a message from God, or you think you got a message from God, we must first test everything. Everything. I told you my mother-in-law and my grandmother had a problem with my skepticism, not realizing, but that's in the Bible. Do you understand that? I don't care what anybody ever told me. One person got mad because I didn't just take what they said, and they told me I was being disobedient. And praise God, because what they brought to me was, you're going to see it failed many of these things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22 says, test everything. test everything. And then once you test it, you have two choices. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. Two choices. That's what you have. Okay? But I still have to test it first. Now, how do I test it? Well, God protects us by commanding us not to trust, but to test every spirit. Now, even myself, and I tell my congregation this, and anybody you listen to, any teacher, please be careful when they try to awe you with brilliance and their resumes and what they have. That the world likes that stuff. We as Christians should know better, okay? When he says in 1 John 4:1-3, he says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." So automatically, it's telling me there are some I can't believe. I can't just listen to something and hear it on church and say, man, they gave a good sermon. How do you know they gave a good sermon? How do you know what they're telling is the truth? Well, he's going to explain. He says, but test the spirits, watch this, to see whether they are from God. And he makes clear why. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay, so he's saying there's a lot of them. They have churches, they have followers, they even use the Bible, as we're about to see. But there's ways you can tell fail safes that God has allowed. He says this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, if I don't know the difference, he didn't just say. Because a lot of will preach that every spirit that says, that's not what it says. It says every spirit that acknowledges. What that means is in agreement with what? That Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, we go back to John 14, and it speaks of who the Word was and what the Word has done and how he's come in the flesh. And we knew that he spoke the Word that leads into the whole New Testament, which talks about grace and everything like that. So if he is in line, completely in line with the New Testament, everything that Christ has said, how Jesus came, so we're talking about the Gospels and the New Testament, all right, then you're cool. You get that. But you won't know that unless you know the Word. You will not know that. They'll tell you something that sounds profound, but there you go, walking by flesh and not walking by what God says. But he says, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. There's that acknowledge again. In other words, I'm not in line with what Jesus said. When I'm not in line with what Jesus said, that's the Antichrist. And you get a lot of them today. I'm talking about in churches, they'll kind of make up these sermons and things, and I see people following them more than I do see them following God. How do I know that? Because I'll hear some things. And remember I told you there's a Bible study, I think, or a sermon we've done called Wrong Righteousness. And you get those people who are religious people who start making up stuff that they think you shouldn't do. Now, here's the problem. Absolutely nothing wrong with a suggestion or advice, but they'll make those things law. You shouldn't wear this, shouldn't listen to this, shouldn't eat this, shouldn't watch this. All of those things, the Bible gives us instruction how to stay protected from them. They just go into straight up avoidance. And at times, they don't realize there's a bias and a favoritism that puts that person in danger. I think I've told you that before, where they'll tell you, you listen to this type of music, that's demonic. What I'm saying in the Bible shows, oh, no, I agree that that is demonic, but so is this other music you didn't warn them about. So now they're going to ignore this music, but they'll listen to this music, and they're still. So you have a choice. Either you listen to it and you protect yourself the way the Bible says, or you don't listen to it, but you still protect yourself the way the Bible says. But do you see, I have to use the God's word for my true protection, not these man-made up things, these things that give the image of, but they're not in line with. Are you with me? Okay. He says, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. That's our failsafe. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now, even now, is already in the world. So he's affecting many of these teachers, and they distract you by sounding a way that you think they should sound. Now, false messages will at times use messengers, and messages will at times use scripture. Okay, and I told you how many people do it with books, and those who are being lazy and don't study their word, those who don't want to test, they'll hear and they'll read, and as long as they hear you something that is in the Bible, you're caught. And that's how you get misled. Somebody say, God told me, and you know how he said. So not only will they distort it, but they'll misuse it. Matthew 4, 5 through 7 says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And look what he says. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Now look what Satan did, for it is written. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against stone. But Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Okay? And that's essential that I'm making sure I understand sound doctrine. How sound doctrine works is, it's not saying the scripture that Satan said was wrong, because it wasn't. That's in there and exactly what it said. But I got to make sure what the balancing one is. You've heard me use the example where there is a verse in the Bible that says, if I stand believing that I'll receive whatever I ask for. By itself, many heartbroken people thinking they're doing something wrong. But there's a complementary one that I have to add to it, and that he says, when you ask and you don't receive, it's because of your motives. And I can go on and on with that. But do you see, we don't do that because we're not learning and being taught with quote unquote sound doctrine. Do you understand that? Okay. And we also have to make sure that that word is not distorted. What do I mean when I say distorted? So they'll take the word and use it what we call out of context. Like you have to read the passage to get an understanding of what exactly that word is saying. If not, it'll be misused. And because you heard this person use it this way, then you're thrown out. Do you understand that? We've used it where they say God will give you the desires of your heart, right? But that real verse is delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We've heard people say money is the root of all evil. But the verse really says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You see how they distorted it and gives it a totally different meaning. God warns us of this in 2 Peter 3, 15 through 16. He says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. So he acknowledges it. He's not saying the Bible's going to be easy, so we should ignore it or not do it. No, he's saying some of these things are hard to understand. But then he says, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scripture, which is acknowledging these letters from Paul are part of scripture, to their own destruction. Okay? Now, in other words, the people that are distorting, they're doomed. And people are so nonchalant today because nothing happens to them immediately, so they take advantage, okay, and not realize God's scripture is sacred, and we have to be very careful. That's why we have to read around it to make sure, and we must make sure that it's in line with the rest of the word before we use it by itself. If I were to read like some would like me to and just read, you know, we're going to start from the beginning and go to the end, you're going to get scripture, but on a topic, you're going to hear part of it. And if you leave and don't come back or whatever, by the time we get to the part that answers the other side of that, you may be misled. Sound doctrine is so necessary. This is why we just don't go by a scripture, but by sound doctrine. Titus 2 verse 1 makes it plainly, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. That goes to all Christian teachers. And that even goes to those who might not be a teacher, but those who are teaching. Because you get those Christians out there and we get this authority and we misuse scripture instead of checking scripture. This distortion of the word is something that God does not take lightly. Okay? So we must recognize this. We must take care of this because it definitely gets in the way. Now, the biggest evidence of false teachings and teachers will be the denying of Christ, the Word, as we showed earlier, and us staying in the Word, which is Christ, protects us. That's it. People who use all this other stuff and take and use a word incorrectly and think you're saving yourself. Some people give incantations with us. They say this three times or make sure you do this or spray this over your house. And then you're wide open because you're following some witchcraft or some other thing that God didn't say to do for protection. But now you have the sense or the feeling of protection while you're getting messed up. 1 John 2 18 through 21. Watch what he says. He says, "Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming even now." Right now, understand the concept of hour, because some people take it literally on that sense, but just like he does in some of the times, we are in the last age or hour, as it will be. And he's saying right now, the Antichrist, many Antichrists have come. Okay, we read earlier what the Antichrist is. They're not in agreement with God's word. He says, this is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. Now, one thing that the rumor has put out there, and I'm just going to, so don't quote me on this, but just kind of give you an example. If this were true, I'm not sure, allegedly, the group in Revelations that you hear of called the Nicolaitans supposedly came from Nicholas. Now, I don't know if you remember Nicholas. He was one of the people that they picked as a deacon in Acts 6. So supposedly he started and then he wasn't with them. He chose. That was a rumor. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's given an example of they had people who were teaching and then they left. And that means you didn't have to question their teaching. Nobody who's given a word in the Bible fits that, as far as we know, of course. But he says, but their going showed that none of them belong to us. Now, please don't mistake that when a person leaves a church organization. In fact, that whole church organization, if you haven't tested it, they probably should have left a long time ago. It's when they leave Christianity, when they start teaching other things. Either they totally do not teach what God says, or you're going to see something else. He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Now, that's the key. Do you know the truth, or are you just going off your instincts and off your human education? He says, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. What's the truth? The truth is the word. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So if I'm giving you from the word, then I'm going to you thinking you know the word. So he asked, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Once again, if we ignore what the entire New Testament from the gospel has showed us, then we're not accepting him as Christ. We're still waiting. We're just like the Jews in that case. You know what I mean? Or when I pick and choose out of the Bible who would I want to use, then once again, I'm distorting the word. But he gives another example of how this word is misused. He says, such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And look what he says in verse 24, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. So in other words, we have access to go back and check this word. When he says remains in you, there's no new thing that has canceled out. You know how we know how we've changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament? We have books like Colossians and Hebrews that shows us what those represented and what we're in now. So we have that, okay? We're covered by that. New Testament, there is nothing. That's solid. So there is nothing that says, okay, you can ignore. And you got people teaching that. We go over to one of 1 Corinthians 11. Go back and read that. That's solidly in the New Testament, and you have churches saying, we don't have to do that because God doesn't care. Think about that, and it's something so simple. He said, such a man is the Antichrist. Now, immediately, that's going to cancel out a lot of people. But once again, in our own minds, well, I don't see the big deal. So what are we going to follow? And this is why we're so easily misled. It says, he denies the Father and the Son. Verse 23 says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See, what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. That's another hint of eternal security and how that whole process works. He says, and this is what he promised us, even eternal life. Did you catch that? He's showing us that if it does, if his word, when it says remains in me, doesn't just mean I'm memorizing, I continue to live it. Because you have those Christians who now start changing their lifestyles and they're going against what the Bible says, that means it's not remaining in them. We seen about that remaining earlier when we were talking about fruit and how we are part of that tree or part of that vine and we're the branches. But when we are separated from him, they're thrown in, they're burned. That's what this means. He says, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Do y'all get this? Okay? So that's the first thing he's stressing for us to do, that I have to remain in him. The whole remain in him, which we've seen in John as well, I think in Matthew, means it's my choice. I can decline, but this is the requirement in order for me to stay a Christian. It's controversial, but you're reading it right here. Please keep that in mind. Now, the false teaching and teacher will also add to God's teaching. So another ploy, what they do is they'll use the Bible. And what that means, 2 John 7-11 says, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, we've already explained that, have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Why does he say, watch out? Why does he give us that? Because it's my choice. If I get misled, that's my fault and my choice. Like I said, main reason this happens, ignorance and desire. You see people who heard something that they like or didn't check, right? And they'll just go with it. I see many people who call themselves polished and seasoned Christians who are very easily misled, very easily deceived. So he shows in verse 9, anyone who runs ahead, and then runs ahead, he'll kind of explain what that means, and does not continue in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Right? And so he's telling me, so runs ahead, man, I'm reading the Bible, then I go get this other book and say, hey, go ahead and follow this too. I go get this other doctrine and say, oh, add this to what you're doing. And just like I said, this is where wrong righteousness comes from, where churches start telling people what they can't do in the name of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with making suggestions. Nothing wrong with that. Everything wrong when you make it seem like it's part of God's plan, and if you don't do this, then you're going to do this, and so on and so forth. All right? And there's a lot of basic things and some major things that people are out there teaching, and once again, people are following. He says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Do you understand that? So if they're not bringing the true Bible, you don't welcome them. And what that means is you don't show that you're in agreement. And look at the warning. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. So we see these warnings and understand that God commands us to stay in the protective boundaries of the word. 1 Corinthians 4:6. Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. I used to make the mistake of going out and finding a minister I liked. Now, that was the flaw. My measuring point was I liked, not in the word of God. If I measure them, and I'll listen to any minister as long as they stay within the word. When they start giving these concepts or they distort the word, I got to move on. I don't care how good it sounds. So we need to recognize the characteristics of false teaching and teachers then, in order to know when somebody says, I'm bringing something from God, you'll know how the measure works. False teachers have and still are adding dangerous philosophies and denying Christ. 2 Peter 2:1-2 says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Watch what he says. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Now, secretly is important because they'll become part of a church, become part of a major organization, become something that you really trust. They'll become a mentor to you, and slowly you'll see them add in pieces because you stop checking them. Why do I remind my congregation? I don't ever want them to trust in me. I don't want them to ever believe in me. You must check it. I won't do this again because it's too dangerous if somebody didn't come back. But there was one time we had a Bible study. And what I did was I went over something and told them in Matthew, and I gave a verse that didn't exist. And I said that it said something. And I said, amen. So make sure y'all go, make sure you check. Everybody said, amen. I came back next week for the next Bible study. So we talked and we talked. I said, so what did y'all get in your studies? Everybody was like, well, you know, it was all good. We understood. I said, you sure? And they said, oh, yeah, absolutely, we did. And I told them, turn to that scripture. And you see everybody blank look. Because they just listened and they followed, which we still do today. Still do today. I could have made up something and I told them, you see the danger in that. Now, what if I told you it was a dangerous thing that I applied? And they're kind of looking with blank looks. I get it. Because once again, when he called that servant a wicked and lazy servant, it's because the servant didn't do what he said. And the Bible says to test everything. Yes, that's going to take time. The Bereans did it the entire week until they met again. And that's what we have to understand. Okay? He says, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. What does that mean, denying the sovereign Lord? In other words, you'll see them doing something blatantly ignoring what God said. Once again, 1 Corinthians 11. Right? We see a lot of ministers that do not belong in the positions that they're in. But we just follow what the Bible says. I mean, we follow what we think and what we add to by ignoring what the Bible says. Sorry about that. And also, we see people when it comes to marriages, we're not just talking about those who are in same-sex marriages, but we're talking about Christians who are divorcing just because they, quote-unquote, fall out of love. There's only one thing that allows for that. Two things, infidelity and death. But we have a lot of Christians who just got tired of it and then they quit. But do you see where I'm going with this? Okay? And the evidence of them is rejecting real authority and ignorantly talking bad about spiritual forces. This is another one you see in more of the apostolic churches, because I think they like to display their power. When the apostolic movement happened in two phases that I know of, in the 1800s and the 1960s, and in both cases, they'd like to display, I have this power, I'm going to speak tongues over this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to speak this, and they do all that stuff. But like he said in Jude 8, in the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies. So you see them doing things to their bodies in the name of God, which has nothing to do with God. Do you understand that? And they reject authority. So those that they're supposed to listen to, that the Bible says, like pastors and teachers that are not flawed or anything, they reject. You understand? And slander celestial beings. You know, how many times I've heard somebody speak bad of Satan? You may go, Pastor, what does that matter? It sets us up, because many times people would tell us how to get rid of Satan, even though the Bible told us how to do that. I've heard him scream at him and call him this and say this to him and tell him I'm going to do this and say I stepped on his neck, and they'll say all this stuff. Well, the Bible tells us very clearly to be alert and self-controlled, standing firm in the faith. That other garbage you're doing is theater, and it's setting myself up like the sons of Sceva dealing with something I don't understand. Even Michael said the Lord rebuke you. It had nothing to do with you. And also, they're walking in ignorance for other matters is another evidence. Jude 10. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. You hear them speak strongly over something. I heard a lot of ministers speak about the politics and the elections and things like that. And the stuff I was hearing, I'm like, but can we go to the Bible to show what you just said on who I'm supposed to vote for? And if I'm supposed to, how that whole thing works, can you show me in the scripture how this works? And it says, and what things they do not understand by instinct, like unreasoned animals, these are the very things that destroy them. It was like there was a video of a leopard who was hungry, and he started chasing after meat. But the meat he was chasing after was a porcupine. So he's trying to attack this porcupine. The porcupine's spines got into him, and he's out in the wilderness, and what the narrator said was he's going to die because it's going to get infected. There's no other animals go, hey, let me take that out of you and give you some antibiotic. That's not going to happen. And we sometimes react out of instinct. What is that? How I feel about it, how it looks to me. These are the things that we have to recognize when that person comes to me and say, I got a message from God, or when somebody's preaching to you a quote-unquote message from God. So when it comes down to it, it is necessary to have a strong relationship with Christ, which is the word, so we are not misled. Colossians 2, 2 through 4 shows us this. He says in verse 2, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart. Let me stop there. Remember, your heart is your purpose. Why do I need encouragement? Because at times my purpose looks like it's not working. But what does that mean, not working? Because too many of us are really living for our outlook and our interpretation of life. And when that's not working, we blame God. Or God was saying, that wasn't the way I told you to go in the first place. So I want to be encouraged in my purpose of serving God, not in my courage of trying to please me. That's the first thing. He says, and united in love. Sometimes we just read the word united and Christians come together. But no, no, no. Not just united, but united in love. Because a lot of us are united in having the same mind, but not based on Christ. It's just I get people that are like-minded to me based on me. That's why we have cliques. And the Bible tells us we're not to have cliques. But we have those cliques, people who separate, get in their own groups, and they're in agreement with each other, but they're not in agreement with Christ. So I got to be united, and the thing that unites us is love. God is love. The only thing that we have in common is Christ, which is God. It said, so that they may have full riches. Now, he gives those two requirements, two major things when it comes to God's word, because this is going to then help that I know the people that I'm with are going to supply me with the support I need based on the word. That's what he says, so that they may have full riches of complete understanding. I've heard people who distort the Bible, who give tradition, who say things out of feelings. It's so disturbing and downright dangerous when this is done. They love to put that out there. Do you understand? Full riches of complete understanding. If I don't have complete understanding, I'll just understand some, and Satan will come into the places that I don't. He'll destroy and attack in avenues that I do not understand. Do you see the problem? Okay. And if we don't get it, we'll continue to keep doing things in the wrong way, going in the wrong path. We need that complete understanding. And then he says, that was the so that. Then he says, I want the complete understanding and the full richness of it in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Remember, Christ is the word. In order for me to truly know the word, I have to understand I need to truly know the word, because the word told me I need to truly know the word. It's a vicious cycle, which is necessary for our walk. If I get it, it says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I can make the right decisions. Too many people in my life I had to see who were making worldly wise decisions or personally wise decisions, which all was not wise at all. He says in verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. In other words, how people get people is they lean upon and dive upon things that sound good. These speakers are outstanding speakers. They know how to put words together to make you go, wow, or to go, they hit a fleshly nerve. And they don't stay spiritually sound. Getting this? Do you understand this? So when it ends, it is our responsibility not to be misled. As I've said many times, because the Bible shows it, and you're going to see it in this, being misled and being deceived is a choice. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Hollow means there's no substance to it. On the surface, it seems good, but you won't find sound doctrine on it. And deceptive, stuff that has lies built on it to make you go the wrong way. God doesn't care if he has this. How would our God love us if he wanted us to do this? And they'll depend on human tradition. In other words, the only way you'll be able to support it is through what humans have always done, not what God has said. And the basic principles of the world. Once again, still part of tradition, which falls upon what man has always done, rather than on Christ. One of the biggest dangers for us is this being misled. You just look around. Most Christians have other items that we have applied in our lives that didn't come from God. And like I said, we have added poisons in our lives, and we don't recognize it. We have added misleading things, and we're applying them. And they're harming us. God has provided us what we need to know who God is and when he's speaking to us. We just have to trust in him. Let us pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, giving you the glory, the praise, and the honor, we thank you so much, dear Lord, for this opportunity to receive your word. And help us, dear Lord, because you provided us with the tools of alertness and of wisdom and of guidance and the understanding through your Holy Spirit. Help us to do it. Help us to encourage one another to do it. Help us to get off of our human wisdom and intelligence, which is not wisdom or intelligence, but to seek yours by letting go of those things and totally humbling ourselves to what your word says. We thank you so much for your love and for your guidance and for your precious word. We want to make sure we're never misusing it and distorting it, because a big part of it is our protection to stay in you. We give you the glory, praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.